down. Buzzer beater, do it all now, top corner talking home run. Touchdown, buzzer beater, do it all now, top corner like.
All right, hello, ladies and gentlemen. It is Monday, March 3rd, 2025, and this is the Monday Report. I'm your host, H. James K. Boy, today we have got one heck of an episode. Today, we're going to be doing a deep dive preview into the Formula One season. By the end of this insanely long episode, you will know absolutely everything you need to know about Formula One ahead of the coming season, which begins on March 16th. To begin, we're going to talk about the biggest storylines out of the 2024 season. We will talk about the top 10 of the Constructors' Championship, all 10 teams and what they did. Then we'll talk about the top 10 finishers in the Drivers' Championship. From there, we'll talk about the new rules, staff changes, organizational changes. Then we're going to preview the entire schedule. You'll get a little blurb about every single track. Then we're going to move on to my predictions for the coming season, including Rookie of the Year, Biggest Disappointment, Biggest Surprise, 5 Bold Predictions, my predictions for the top 3 in the Constructors, and my predictions for the top 3 in the Drivers' Championship. You're going to get all of that coming up right now. All right, to begin, let's jump into a recap of the 2024 Constructors' Championship. Last season, McLaren prevailed in the Constructors' Championship, defeating Red Bull and Ferrari for the illustrious title. McLaren finished first. They got 666 total Constructors' points, 6 total wins, 0 retirements on the season, plus only 2 non-points finishes. The team was on the podium in 18 of 24 races. The team had 14 consecutive podium finishes from rounds 5 to 18, including a 1-2 finish in Hungary, a 2-3 finish in Monza, and a 1-3 finish in Singapore. McLaren had 9 second place finishes, more than any other team. The team was consistently fastest for the latter two-thirds of the season, but team strategy mistakes and driver errors cost several wins or podiums. The big key to McLaren's success in the 2024 season was the utilization of a new aerodynamic concept called flexi-wings, more scientifically known as aero-elasticity, which was the flexibility of the wings in the car under aerodynamic load. But we're going to talk about that later on in the episode. Finishing second in the Constructors' Championship was Scuderia Ferrari, a works team based in Italy. Ferrari had 652 total Constructors' points, 5 total wins, 3 total retirements, including a double DNF in Canada, which likely cost the team the Constructors' title, considering they only lost the Constructors by 14 points. Ferrari had 17 podium finishes on the season. Consistent development of the car bore serious fruit for Ferrari, who was able to be in the hunt for most of the races even though they were never really in contention for the Drivers' Championship. The big highlight of Ferrari's season was a daring one-stop strategy pulled off by Charles Leclerc, which allowed Ferrari to win their home race of Monza. Finishing third in the Constructors' Championship was Red Bull. Red Bull is powered by Honda engines in a partnership called Red Bull Powertrains. Red Bull had 589 total Constructors' points, 9 total wins, all of which were by Max Verstappen. The team had 7 wins in the first 10 races, but only 2 in the final 14 races. The team had 3 1-2 finishes in the first 4 rounds. The team had 5 total retirements plus 4 non-points finishes from Sergio Perez. The team had 14 total podium finishes. Red Bull was expected to dominate coming into the season after their insane level of domination in the 2023 season, but they fell behind as other teams extracted more performance from their cars' respective designs. The Red Bull car struggled with cornering consistency and had a very narrow window where it was at its best, proving to be exceptionally difficult for Max Verstappen and Sergio Perez to overcome. Finishing fourth in the Formula One Constructors' Championship was Mercedes. Mercedes is a works team, much like Ferrari, who builds their own car and their own engine. Mercedes had 468 total Constructors' points. They had 4 total wins, 3 total retirements, plus a disqualification for George Russell, who finished first in a race but was later found to have a car that was underweight. The team had 8 podium finishes, including a 1-2 finish in Las Vegas. They were consistently 3rd or 4th fastest on the grid for most of the season, except for a 4-race stretch mid-season that saw the team win 3 of 4 races. Finishing 5th in the Constructors' Championship was Aston Martin Aramco, which is a Mercedes-powered team that also utilizes Mercedes parts, but builds their own car. The team had 94 total Constructors' points, making them a distant 5th. The team had 3 total retirements, 2 of 3 were from Lance Stroll. Plus, the team had a did not start after Lance Stroll crashed during the formation lap in the 21st round in Sao Paulo. Aston Martin had 0 podium finishes as a team, which was extremely disappointing after their surprising 2023 performance. Fernando Alonso was a consistent presence in the points positions as he outdrove his underwhelming car. More on him later, though. Lance Stroll, whose father owns the team, was often an extremely disappointing teammate. Finishing 6th in the Constructors' Championship was Alpine, which is a Renault-powered works team operated by the auto manufacturer Renault under the name of their sports car brand Alpine. Alpine had 65 total constructors' points, 5 total retirements, plus a did-not-start from Pierre Gasly. The team had a 10th place finish in the Drivers' Championship for Pierre Gasly, though teammate Esteban Ocon was disappointing and replaced for the last round by Aussie Jack Doohan. More on all of that later. The team had an impressive double podium finish of 2nd and 3rd at the 21st round in Sao Paulo. It was their only podium finish of the season. Finishing 7th in the Constructors' Championship was Haas. Haas is an American-owned Formula One team that is based out of Italy. The team is Ferrari-powered and uses numerous parts and drivers from the Ferrari family of drivers and parts and everything. The team had 58 total constructors' points, 3 total retirements, plus 1 disqualification for Nico Hülkenberg. Nico Hülkenberg had an impressive 10 total points finishes on the season. Kevin Magnussen, by comparison, was disappointing with only 5 total points finishes. Rookie Ollie Bearman got an impressive points finish of 10th place while substituting for Kevin Magnussen in the 17th round in Azerbaijan in 2024. Finishing 8th in the Constructors' Championship was Red Bull Junior Team Visa Cash App RB. The aforementioned Red Bull Junior Team is Honda-powered and utilizes several parts from the Red Bull team, as well as they often field drivers being developed by the Red Bull Driver Development Program. The team was often called VCARB in 2024 or RB. For the sake of this discussion, they'll be called VCARB for the moment. VCARB had 46 total constructors' points. The team had 6 total retirements, 4 from Yuki Tsunoda, 2 from Daniel Ricciardo. Yuki Tsunoda had 9 points finishes on the season, which was an improvement of form compared to his previous years. Longtime fan favorite driver, Australian Daniel Ricciardo, was replaced after 18 rounds due to disappointing performance. Ricciardo was replaced by fellow Aussie Liam Lawson, who got a pair of 9th place finishes from 6 starts with no retirements. Finishing 9th in the Constructors' Championship was Williams. Williams is a legendary team that's been around for a long time. These days, Williams is powered by Mercedes engines, utilizes Mercedes parts, and acts as a Mercedes junior team, often fielding Mercedes development drivers. Williams had 17 total Constructors' points, 11 total retirements, plus a withdrawal for Logan Sargeant and a did not start from Alex Albon. American driver Logan Sargeant was fired after the 15th round due to a crash-filled campaign that lacked any points. Sargeant's replacement, Franco Colapinto, had 2 ninth place finishes, which totaled more points than Logan Sargeant had in his entire 2-year stint in Formula One. Finishing last in the Constructors' Championship was Kick Sauber. Kick Sauber is another legendary team that's been around a very long time. Kick Sauber, or Sauber as they're often called, is a Ferrari-powered team that is being taken over by German auto manufacturer Audi for the 2026 season onward. Right now, Sauber uses Ferrari power plants and Ferrari parts. The team was often called Steak or Sauber or Kick Sauber due to their multiple title sponsors and traditional Sauber name. The team had four total constructors' points, four total retirements, three of which were from Finnish driver Valtteri Bottas. Zhou Guanyu's eighth-place finish in the penultimate round finally got him a points finish, highlighting an otherwise abysmal season for Kick Sauber as a team. To summarize, the 2024 Formula One Constructors' Championship came down to a tight battle between four teams, with McLaren, Ferrari, Red Bull, and Mercedes all duking it out till the very end. Ultimately, McLaren prevailed over Ferrari, with Red Bull falling back to a disappointing third in the Constructors. This was a very different race than in 2023, where Red Bull jumped out into the lead and ran away with both the Drivers' and Constructors' Championships very early on in the 2023 season. Alright, that'll wrap up the summary of the 2024 Formula One Constructors' Championship. Now, it is time to move on to a recap of the top 10 finishers in the 2024 Formula One Drivers' Championship. In 2024, the Formula One Drivers' Championship was won by Max Verstappen, which made it his fourth championship in a row. Max Verstappen scored 437 points, had 9 wins, 5 other podium finishes, and only one retirement. Max Verstappen was consistently in the fight the entire season and scored 74% of his team's total points. Max Verstappen consistently complained about the car's performance, making headlines and getting fined for language on one occasion. Finishing second in the Formula One Drivers' Championship was Lando Norris, who drove for McLaren. Lando Norris scored 374 points, had 4 wins, and 9 other podium finishes. Lando Norris had 0 retirements and only 1 non-points finish. Notably for Lando Norris, he got into it with Max Verstappen multiple times, though Verstappen got the better of him on track most of those times. He consistently struggled on starts, losing the lead from the pole position on multiple first laps. He started on the pole and lost the lead on lap 1 in Spain, Hungary, the Netherlands, Monza, Austin, and Sao Paulo. On top of his confrontations with rival driver Max Verstappen, Lando Norris also got into it with his teammate Oscar Piastri on more than one occasion. The most controversial of which was a team order situation in which Oscar Piastri was given the most advantageous strategy, but a pit road mistake gave Lando Norris the lead. At the time, he was in close proximity to Max Verstappen in the overall Drivers' Championship situation, so when McLaren gave Lando Norris team orders to relinquish the lead and allow Oscar Piastri to win his first race, there was considerable controversy amongst the media and the fans over the righteousness and morality of team orders. What ultimately doomed Lando Norris was the fact that he only finished better than Max Verstappen 9 times, and even then, he often didn't finish far enough ahead to cut into Max Verstappen's sometimes sizable Drivers' Championship points lead. Finishing third in the Drivers' Championship was Ferrari driver Charles Leclerc, spelled Charles Leclerc, but apparently pronounced Charles Leclerc. Leclerc finished with 356 total points in the Drivers' Championship. He had 3 wins, 10 podium finishes, 1 retirement, and only 2 non-points finishes. Leclerc finally managed to win his home race, the legendary Monaco Grand Prix. He was never really in contention for the Drivers' Championship, but he was a constant factor at the front of races, greatly influencing the outcome of the Drivers' Championship itself. Altogether, this was a great season for Charles Leclerc, even if it wasn't the championship that he ultimately wanted. Finishing fourth in the Formula One Drivers' Championship was Australian driver Oscar Piastri. The 23-year-old Aussie finished the season with 292 total points. Piastri had 2 wins and 6 podium finishes. Piastri was consistently a fast driver in only his second season in Formula One. As mentioned earlier, he had drama with his teammate in Hungary when Lando Norris was ordered to move out of the way to give him the win. Ultimately, McLaren made this right, quote-unquote, by ordering Oscar Piastri to relinquish the lead in a sprint race later on in the season to give Lando Norris the win to help his points championship run. Finishing fifth in the Drivers' Championship was Carlos Sainz Jr., who drove for Ferrari. Carlos Sainz Jr. finished the season with 290 total points, 2 wins, 7 podium finishes, and had 2 retirements, on top of 1 non-points finish and a withdrawal in the second round after he got a sudden bout of appendicitis. While not as successful as his teammate, Sainz's final season at Ferrari was a very competitive one. Finishing sixth in the Drivers' Championship was Mercedes driver George Russell. The English driver finished the season with 245 total points, 2 wins, 2 podium finishes, 1 retirement, and 1 non-points finish. He also had 1 disqualification, as mentioned earlier, where he finished the Belgian Grand Prix in first place, but his car was ultimately found to be underweight. His teammate Lewis Hamilton, who finished in second place in Belgium, was then elevated to the win, and George Russell was dropped to the back of the field. George Russell ultimately finished higher than his teammate Lewis Hamilton for the second time in the last 3 seasons, a worrying trend for Lewis Hamilton fans. Finishing in 7th place in the Drivers' Championship was the aforementioned Lewis Hamilton. The British driver finished with 223 total points, 2 wins, one of which was the aforementioned Belgium Grand Prix. Lewis Hamilton had 2 retirements on the season and 1 non-points finish. Lewis Hamilton continued to struggle with the current ground effects era of car design compared to the previous rule set from 2021 and earlier. This continued decline in form has also coincided with a loss to his teammate 2 of the last 3 years. Ultimately, Lewis Hamilton has decided to leave Mercedes for greener pastures, hoping to find a return to his previous form. Finishing in 8th place in the Drivers' Championship was Red Bull driver Sergio Perez. The Mexican driver finished with a disappointing 152 points. His 0 wins was the first time he went winless since the 2019 season when he was driving for the midfield team Racing Point. He had the least points in the season since the COVID-shortened 17-round 2021 season. Perez had 4 podium finishes on the year, his least since the aforementioned 2020 season. His 4 retirements were the most in a season since his sophomore season in 2012 when he had 6. Perez had 4 non-point finishes, the worst he's had in a season since the aforementioned 2019 season when he was driving with midfield team Racing Point. His disappointing form, including a veritable collapse in pace in the second half of the season, ultimately led to Red Bull going in a different direction with their 2025 driver lineup. More on that later. Finishing 9th in the Drivers' Championship was legendary driver Fernando Alonso. Fernando Alonso, driving for Aston Martin, finished the season with 70 total points and 0 wins. Not surprising considering he's driving for a midfield team these days. The legendary Spaniard had 0 podium finishes compared to 8 with Aston Martin in 2023. Alonso had 9 points finishes, up considerably from the 1 he had in 2023. His 9th place finish is a steep decline from his surprising 4th place finish in 2023 when Aston Martin had a much more competitive car. Lastly, finishing 10th in the Drivers' Championship was French driver Pierre Gasly. Gasly scored 42 points for the Alpine team, getting 0 wins. Gasly had an impressive 3rd place finish in the penultimate round in Qatar, his only podium of the season. He had 3 retirements for the season, plus a did not start for the British Grand Prix after he had a gearbox problem that prevented him from taking to the starting grid. Gasly continued his consistent form for the Alpine team in 2024 and looks to continue that form in 2025. That wraps up my recap of the top 10 finishers in the 2024 Formula One Drivers' Championship. Now, it is time to look forward ahead to the 2025 season. We're going to start off these discussions by giving a summary and exploration of all of the new rule changes in place for the coming season. The first major rule change was a raise of the minimum driver weight from 80 kilograms or 176.4 pounds to 82 kilograms or 180.8 pounds for us heroes of the imperial system of measurement. This was done in the interest of driver health and safety, considering teams like their drivers to be as close to the minimum weight as possible to allow the cars to be as light and subsequently as fast as possible, regardless of the height and size of the driver. For obvious reasons, the rule change is a great positive. An excellent example of why this change was needed is the late, great, former Formula One turned Indy driver, Justin Wilson. Justin Wilson was an English driver standing 6 feet 4 inches tall who was expected to be something like 160 to 170 pounds, even at his towering stature. These days, he would be allowed to be a much more reasonable 180 pounds, which is still light for someone his size, but much more safe compared to the old ways from yesteryear. Another major rule change coming for the 2025 season is something done in an effort to improve the overall excitement and intrigue of the Monaco Grand Prix. The Monaco Grand Prix is always a one-stop race where everyone drives slow and saves their tires, pitting only once and trying not to either crash out, have a mechanical problem, or lose time in the pits. In an effort to change things, Formula One has decided to mandate two mandatory pit stops for the Monaco Grand Prix to force teams to vary their strategies and hopefully give fans and media pundits something exciting to watch at the Monaco Grand Prix. I will delve more into the Monaco Grand Prix later on when I discuss the 2025 schedule. The third change in the rules, and arguably the most seismic change, is a ban on flexi-wings. As I mentioned earlier, flexi-wings was an aerodynamic concept that greatly helped certain teams get ahead in the 2024 Drivers and Constructors Championship. The principle behind flexi-wings was the utilization of a concept called aeroelasticity. In the world of racing, aeroelasticity is the behavior of the front and rear wings under intense aerodynamic load. In this instance, it was the practice of designing front wings and, to a lesser extent, rear wings that would deflect or bend or flex under aerodynamic load well at speed, but would otherwise pass the existing front and rear wing deflection tests set up by Formula One. So what would happen is the car would go into park ferma and they would do the normal tests and the car would pass, but then under specific aerodynamic load, the wings would bend far, far beyond what was technically allowed, allowing the teams to lower drag at speed without having to sacrifice cornering ability. For obvious reasons, this was controversial, especially because Red Bull could not seem to get a handle on flexi-wings. Meanwhile, Mercedes and Ferrari, and especially McLaren, were making great stride with flexi-wings. Ultimately, during this offseason, they've decided to ban flexi-wings, but that decision was made long enough into the offseason where they decided that too much development had gone on, so the FIA decided that the quote-unquote ban of flexi-wings would not take place until the ninth round of the season in Spain. In an effort to crack down on flexi-wings, the FIA has instituted a new battery of tests. They have narrowed the acceptable boundaries of wing flexibility, and they've come up with a new test where instead of just pressing down on the wing with a hydraulic press in one position, it's now going to be done in multiple positions along the front and rear wings to ensure that no part of the wing is more flexible than the other, thus allowing the flexi-wing concept to continue. These new tests, the FIA hopes, should crack down on much of the flexi-wing stuff we've been seeing. This is especially true because late in the season we saw something new in the flexi-wings world, which was what was called mini DRS, where teams discover that if you make the bottom corners of the DRS panel on the rear wing flexible enough, aerodynamic forces will bend that corner upwards, allowing a small gap in the rear wing to appear, thus lowering drag and allowing the cars to go much faster on the straights. McLaren utilized this quote-unquote mini DRS much more than other teams, and as we've seen in preseason testing in Formula One just this past weekend, McLaren's usage of quote-unquote mini DRS and flexi-wings for the first eight rounds of the season is not something that is going to go away until it absolutely positively has to by mandate. Beyond flexi-wings, the FIA has also decided to get rid of the point that they would award to the fastest lap of any driver currently in the top 10. Fastest lap was a rule that returned in 2019 that saw drivers in the top 10, and only in the top 10, often going into the pits and sacrificing field position to then get fresh tires to do a lap, hoping to get that extra point, assuming they were out of contention for the win. Obviously, this hurts the show because it was artificial and it would take cars out of the running to do something that was gimmicky. So for 2025, fastest lap point is gone. The rule that might create the most headlines is a new change the FIA president Mohammed bin Sulayem has instituted about public comments from drivers and team members about the FIA and Formula One and officiating and rules and the language that they use. Starting in 2025, there will be escalating fines for quote-unquote improper language and use of words. In other words, Max Verstappen screaming into the team comms about how much his car was a dog and swearing his head off would now get increasingly punitive fines from now on. It remains to be seen how the FIA is going to enforce this and the reactions from some of the drivers, considering some drivers more than others are far more opinionated and have no problem expressing their opinions. Now that we've discussed all the rule changes, we need to discuss the big staff change that took place during this offseason. Normally, I wouldn't really pay much attention to staff turnover amongst the race teams because, you know, okay, a race engineer goes from this team and leaves to do something else, big deal. But this change was huge. It was announced during the offseason that legendary car designer Adrian Newey, who has spent the last several years at Red Bull, is leaving for Aston Martin. Adrian Newey is arguably the greatest car designer since legendary designer Colin Chapman and his Lotus cars from back in the 60s, 70s, and 80s. Adrian Newey has been developing race cars for various series since the mid-80s, when he was developing kart cars for March Engineering and race cars for Ligier. In Formula One circles, he had a very successful stint with Williams during their most dominant streak from 1991 to 1996. After Williams, Newey left for McLaren from 1997 to 2005. While at McLaren, Newey oversaw tremendous success as lead designer, his cars constantly contending for championships and winning lots and lots of races, even as Michael Schumacher dominated the series. In 2006, Adrian Newey decided to leave the legendary McLaren team for upstart Red Bull. Red Bull gets their origins from the ill-fated Jaguar Racing team run by the Ford Motor Company. In 2005, Red Bull's first season, they had middling success. In 2006, when Adrian Newey arrived, he was developing a car that was designed by someone else. But in the following seasons, he designed cars that would go on to have significant stretches of dominance, especially in the era of Sebastian Vettel, and then also in this latest era with Max Verstappen. Now, Adrian Newey is looking for a new challenge and is leaving Red Bull for Aston Martin. It is going to be very interesting to see what Adrian Newey is able to do from a car development standpoint as the 2026 rule set takes effect fall next season. For right now, Adrian Newey should begin his tenure at Aston Martin sometime later this month, at which time he'll begin developing probably the 2026 car, but he might also do some work on this year's car as well. It'll be very interesting to see how this affects Aston Martin's pace, if it affects it at all, during the 2025 season. This is all to say, keep an eye on Aston Martin for 2025, because who knows, maybe they turn into something fast. Moving on from staff changes, there is also a couple of organizational / sponsorship changes to some teams that are relevant. Williams has announced a new title sponsor, Atlassian. Atlassian is an Australian software company that specializes in collaborative software for businesses. Meanwhile, Visa Cash App RB, the Red Bull Racing Junior team, has now changed their name to Visa Cash App Racing Bulls Formula One team, and will henceforth be known as Racing Bulls. These two changes, while largely cosmetic, will be how these two teams are referred to going forward. Williams will now be Atlassian Williams, or Williams Atlassian, it remains to be seen, and VCARB will now just be called Racing Bulls, which is a little more straightforward. Beyond the sponsorship changes and staff changes and all this and rules, there's also driver lineups. Now, the driver turnover is always hectic in Formula One during the offseason. This year, especially so because Lewis Hamilton switched teams, Carlos Sainz switched teams, Red Bull had turnover. So we're going to now go through all of the different changes to the Formula One team's lineups. Starting with Red Bull, Sergio Perez has been let go after an extremely disappointing 2024 campaign. Rookie Liam Lawson from Australia will be replacing Perez, though it remains to be seen if the rookie will be competitive enough to justify the Red Bull seat over other drivers such as Yuki Tsunoda. The aforementioned Ferrari team let go of Carlos Sainz and signed Lewis Hamilton. This is a seismic shift in the driver market that was not foreseen before the 2024 season. Carlos Sainz has now gone on to find another seat, and Lewis Hamilton has now joined Ferrari. It is very odd seeing him in red after seeing him in black and silver for so long, but he sounds happy with his change of team, and both sides seem to be happy with the amicable split that we saw during the offseason. Fans and media are obviously excited about seeing Lewis Hamilton in a Ferrari. The Tifosi, which is the Ferrari superfans, having visions of Michael Schumacher's dominant run in Ferrari. With Ferrari plucking Lewis Hamilton from Mercedes, Mercedes was left with an open spot. This year, that spot is being filled by a driver named Andrea Kimi Antonelli, often known simply as Kimi Antonelli. Antonelli is a promising rookie tabbed to replace Lewis Hamilton by team principal Toto Wolff, who claims that he has been eyeing Kimi Antonelli for a seat in the Mercedes team for a long time. The Formula 2 standard has long been someone talked about in hushed tones among the junior Formula category as the next big thing, with some even comparing him to a young Max Verstappen. These are obviously big shoes to fill considering he's following in the footsteps of one of the all-time great Formula 1 drivers, but Mercedes sounds confident in his abilities. Leaving the big four teams behind, another big change was the Alpine team. Alpine has let Esteban Ocon go following his disappointing performance in the last season. Whether that performance was actually Ocon's fault versus the up-and-down performance of the Alpine car is debatable, but the team felt a change was necessary. To replace Ocon, Alpine has signed Australian driver Jack Doohan. Doohan started his career as part of the Red Bull Junior team, but has been a part of the Alpine Driver Academy since the 2022 season. For the last two seasons, Jack Doohan has been a reserve driver for the Alpine team and will now step forward as a rookie into the big show. Last season, Racing Bulls let go of fan favorite driver Daniel Ricciardo after 18 rounds, replacing him with Liam Lawson. With Liam Lawson now having been signed by Red Bull, Racing Bulls has turned to French driver Isaac Hadjar. Isaac Hadjar was born in Paris to Algerian parents. He's been part of the Red Bull Junior team since 2022. His successes in junior categories, namely F3 and F2, has earned him the nickname Le Petit Prost, or Little Prost, in French media. The consensus on the Isaac Hadjar signing is that Red Bull Racing is running short of truly viable junior drivers in their academy, and Racing Bulls is now taking a flyer on Hadjar, who is largely unproven. Isaac Hadjar will partner with longtime Racing Bulls driver Yuki Tsunoda, who some thought had earned a shot at the Red Bull seat alongside Max Verstappen. It has become clear that Red Bull does not view Yuki Tsunoda as a viable partner for Max Verstappen. The Haas team also has a new driver lineup. Haas has parted ways with both of their drivers from the 2024 season. Both Kevin Magnussen and Nico Hülkenberg were not brought back. While Hülkenberg has found another ride, Magnussen has not, and it looks likely that Magnussen's time in Formula One might be coming to a close. This season, Haas has signed former Alpine driver Esteban Ocon to drive one of the two entries. Ocon will be looking to improve his form even as he joins a lesser team. Haas has signed standout British rookie Ollie Bearman from the Ferrari Driver Development Program to drive the second Haas entry. Ollie Bearman impressed in his early season substituting drive for Carlos Sainz Jr. with Ferrari, where Bearman substituted for Carlos Sainz Jr. with little to no practice in qualifying on extremely short notice. Later on in the season, Bearman also drove for Haas, finishing in the points on his first drive for Haas and finishing 12th on the second drive. This gave Bearman 2 points finishes in 3 starts from 2 different teams, which is incredibly impressive. Going into 2025, many see Ollie Bearman as the future for Ferrari alongside Charles Leclerc if Lewis Hamilton decides to call it a career anytime soon. Williams has found their driver lineup getting a significant upgrade. With the moves from Ferrari and Mercedes, Williams has signed Carlos Sainz Jr. to be one of the 2 drivers for the team. Whereas there were rumors that Carlos Sainz Jr. might sit out the 2025 season and instead wait for the Audi Works team to start up their work and fill out a driver's lineup for 2026, instead, Carlos Sainz has signed a 2-year deal with an option to extend with Williams. Sainz is a high-profile driver, having driven for both McLaren to great success and Ferrari to greater success. The fact that he is driving for Williams is a huge boon for the team as it tries to rebuild to its championship-winning ways of yesteryear. Lastly, Sauber has a new driver lineup as well. After fielding Chinese driver Zhou Guanyu and Finnish driver Valtteri Bottas for all of 2024, Sauber has gone in a completely different direction. Zhou, who has been largely unimpressive, has been replaced by Formula 2 champion and McLaren development driver Gabriel Bortoleto. Bortoleto is a Brazilian rookie from Sao Paulo who won Formula 2 on his first try in 2024. He is viewed by many as a prodigy and has spent the last several seasons getting mentored by legendary driver Fernando Alonso. Much like in past seasons, Sauber has chosen to pair an exciting rookie with an experienced driver. The last few years, that driver has been Valtteri Bottas. In 2025, that experienced driver is German driver Nico Hülkenberg. Before his years in the midfield and backmarker teams, Nico Hülkenberg spent years with the Works Renault team, now known as Alpine. He is an experienced driver who is capable of delivering solid results as well as needed consistency. Only 2 teams kept the same driver lineup going into the 2025 seasons. Aston Martin has come back with Fernando Alonso and Lance Stroll, the son of team owner Lawrence Stroll. McLaren, on the other hand, has come back with Lando Norris and Oscar Piastri. Both teams are incredibly satisfied with their driver lineups and have no plans to change anything going forward. With driver lineup changes out of the way, now it is time to discuss the coming season by looking at the schedule for the 2025 season. Round 1 of the 2025 season is the Australian Grand Prix, held at the Albert Park Street Circuit in Melbourne, Australia. The Australian Grand Prix retakes its rightful place at the start of the season because of scheduling conflicts with the Middle Eastern rounds that started the 2024 season. Round 2 of the season is the Chinese Grand Prix, held at the Shanghai International Circuit in Shanghai, China. The Chinese Grand Prix moves up from Round 5 to Round 2, jumping ahead of the Japanese Grand Prix, which was the 4th round of the 2024 season. The 3rd round is the aforementioned Japanese Grand Prix, held at the legendary Suzuka Circuit in Suzuka, Japan. The Suzuka Circuit is a classic track that has hosted many Grand Prix over the years. The twisting, flowing, undulating nature of the track is unlike many, if not most, other tracks on the schedule, posing a unique challenge for the drivers and teams. In another change from last year, the Bahrain Grand Prix, which opened the season in 2024, has moved to Round 4. The Bahrain Grand Prix is held at the Bahrain International Circuit in Sakhir, Bahrain. This move of the schedule was done to make sure that the Bahrain Grand Prix does not clash with Ramadan, which happens in March this year. Bahrain is often a competitive track, offering long straights and plentiful chances to overtake. Look to this race to be one of the rather exciting ones. Round 5 of the season is the Saudi Arabian Grand Prix, held at the Jeddah Corniche Circuit in Jeddah, Saudi Arabia. This circuit is another street circuit. This track's tight confines and long sweeping turns makes it one of the fastest and most dangerous tracks on the entire calendar. This race was moved from the second round of 2024 to the fifth round of 2025 so as not to interfere with the aforementioned Ramadan. Round 6 of the 2025 season is the Miami Grand Prix, held at the Miami International Autodrome in Miami Gardens, Florida. This high-class temporary circuit weaves its way around Hard Rock Stadium, home of the Miami Dolphins. With so many celebrities in attendance, ticket prices are expected to be outrageous once again. The track looks pretty, but generally puts on a boring show. It lacks elevation change and has very little character, so says the drivers and fans. Round 7 of the season is the Emilia-Romagna Grand Prix, held at the Imola Circuit in San Marino, Italy. The historic Italian racetrack was the site of Ayrton Senna's tragic death back in 1994 when his car had a steering malfunction and collided with the wall on the outside of the Tamburello corner at something like 194 miles an hour. Formula One has returned to racing at Imola since 2020 after leaving following the 2006 San Marino Grand Prix. Imola put on a great show in 2024, featuring an exciting charge from Lando Norris as he tried to track down rival Max Verstappen, who was leading the race. Round 8 of the season is the legendary Monaco Grand Prix, held at the Circuit de Monaco in Monte Carlo, Monaco. This temporary circuit is one of the most legendary in all of motorsports, having been a fixture on the Formula One calendar in some form or fashion every year since 1929, other than World War II. Winning the Monaco Grand Prix is considered one of the greatest achievements in a racing career. The Monaco Grand Prix is known for processional, boring races that feature little, if any, on-track action. Back in 2018, then Red Bull driver Daniel Ricciardo managed to win the race while possessing only 50% of the power his car normally has. He was able to move around on track, preventing anyone from overtaking him, even as other teams had as much as 400 more horsepower than he did. Still, his car was big enough and the track narrow enough that he was able to win the race on half power. This year, the FIA has mandated 2 pit stops as a mandatory requirement in a bid to improve the strategy and help the show, but it remains to be seen if the race is even savable. It won't be going anywhere, but many are beginning to realize that the real excitement of the Monaco Grand Prix is found on Saturday during qualifying, when drivers throw their cars around the track as fast as possible, getting as close as they even dare to the walls. Round 9 of the coming Formula 1 season is the Spanish Grand Prix, held at the Circuit de Barcelona-Catalunya in Montmeló, Spain. The circuit is a track often used in years past for Formula 1 testing, not only because of its moderate climate, but its possessing sharp corners, medium-length corners, and high-speed long corners. Still, the track is largely characterless and puts on exceptionally boring racing. The only reason to really watch the Spanish Grand Prix this year is because it will be the first race after the implementation of the new flexi-wing tests and regulations. So it will be very interesting to see if any of the teams have a change in performance from previous weeks compared to going forward now that they're no longer allowed to use the flexi-wing concept. Round 10 of the season is the Canadian Grand Prix, held at the Circuit Gilles Villeneuve in Montreal, Canada. Work for this temporary street circuit broke ground in 1978. The track has been the host of the Canadian Grand Prix continuously, other than the 1987, 2009, and COVID-affected seasons of 2020 and 2021. This track is a mix of public roads and purpose-built racing surface that sees high speeds and very little passing. Round 11 of the season is the Austrian Grand Prix, held at the Red Bull Ring in Spielberg, Austria. Originally known as the Österreich Ring, the Red Bull Ring is owned by Red Bull Racing parent company Red Bull, who purchased and restored the track, turning it into the modern track that it is today. While this track is typically rather dull, there is always the occasional time when unforeseen twists mix things up. Round 12 of the season is the legendary British Grand Prix, held at the famous Silverstone Circuit in Silverstone, England. This track is one of the most famous racing circuits in all of the world. beginning its life as an RAF airbase in England during the Second World War. After the war, the airbase was closed down and the tarmac was converted into a racing surface where cars in the 40s and 50s would drive around on the actual runways themselves and interconnecting tarmac surfaces. In the following decades, the track was transformed from a lowly airbase into the palace of speed that it has become, that now hosts several Formula One teams' home base. This is all to say that this track, the Silverstone Circuit, is the heartbeat of English Formula One racing and the home race of several drivers, including Lando Norris, George Russell, and Lewis Hamilton. Round 13 of the season is the Belgian Grand Prix, held at the Circuit de Spa-Francorchamps in Stavelot, Belgium. Spa, as it is known, is one of the most iconic racing tracks on Earth, featuring the legendary three-turn Eau Rouge Radion complex. The sweeping downhill then uphill complex is supremely challenging, dangerous, and breathtaking to watch. The circuit is exactly 7 kilometers or 4.352 miles in length, making it one of the longest of the entire season. The length and generally fast quality of the track make it one of the better power tracks, meaning engine power and lower drag are kings at Spa. Round 14 of the season is the Hungarian Grand Prix, held at the Hungaroring in Mojarod, Hungary. I'll tell you, I had to look up how to pronounce that one. It's spelled M-O-G-Y-O-R-O-D. Wrap your mind around that one. The Hungarian Grand Prix was first held in 1986. It was the first F1 race held behind the Iron Curtain. Former F1 head Bernie Eccleston wanted a race in the USSR, settling on a race near Budapest. Ultimately, the Soviets built the Hungaroring in only 8 months, one of the fastest constructions of a Formula One circuit ever in history. The race is held in the summer, so temperatures are often extremely hot. The location of the track, with its dry, dusty soil, means that the track often gets dusty very quickly. The generally underutilized nature of the track means that the racing surface has not aged as much as other tracks of a similar age, thus preventing it from being as racy as some older tracks tend to become. The circuit is often known as Monaco without the barriers due to the incredible difficulties cars have when trying to pass. Races are often rather dull and processional at the Hungarian Grand Prix. Round 15 of the season is the Dutch Grand Prix, held at Circuit Zandvoort in Zandvoort, Netherlands. This is the home race of Red Bull driver Max Verstappen, meaning there is always a huge contingent of orange-clad race fans waving around flags and popping off orange smoke bombs. They even have their own grandstand at the track. Zandvoort was on the F1 calendar intermittently from 1950, the first year of Formula One racing officially, to 1985. The track's elevation and narrow nature means that it's hard to pass. The track made a return to the F1 calendar in the 2021 season, after an expensive revamp of the circuit saw many corners reprofiled. Other than the elevation and narrow width of the track surface, the other thing Zandvoort is known for is a pair of turns. The first turn of the circuit has remained largely unchanged since 1948 and is called Tarzanbocht, meaning Tarzan Bend. The other turn that is most famous on this track is the final turn, known as Arie-Luyendijk-Bocht. This is a right-hand turn featuring 18-degree banking. The turn is named after two-time Indianapolis 500 champion and Dutchman Arie-Luyendijk. It is the only highly banked turn on the entire Formula One calendar, and unlike anything the drivers and teams have to face all season. The 16th round of the Formula One season is the Italian Grand Prix, held at the famous Monza Circuit in Monza, Italy. Monza is the home race of Scuderia Ferrari, the track and race always featuring a massive contingent of the Tifosi wearing red. Monza has been on the Formula One calendar since the series' inaugural season in 1950, other than 1980 when the Italian Grand Prix went to Imola to allow Monza to be reconfigured and revamped with new facilities. Due to high speeds, Monza is historically regarded as one of the most dangerous tracks on the calendar. At one point, the track featured the normal layout in addition to a connected 2.5-mile oval that featured turns banked at 35 degrees. Thankfully, the combined oval road course layout is no longer used, and the high banks have fallen into disrepair. Monza is the fastest circuit on the calendar, seeing trap speeds at up to a blistering speed of 353.5 kilometers per hour, or 218 miles per hour. The long length and sweeping turns in Monza means that teams run as low profile wings as they are allowed, trying to be as low drag as possible. Last year, Ferrari won their home race, with Charles Leclerc prevailing over the competition due to a daring one-stop strategy that defeated Max Verstappen and Lando Norris. Round 17 of the season is the Azerbaijan Grand Prix, held at the Baku City Circuit in Baku, Azerbaijan. The Baku City Circuit is a temporary street circuit in the capital city of Baku. The circuit features the narrow, winding castle complex, as well as one of the longest straightaways in the series. Baku has only been on the calendar since 2017. It usually provides exciting racing, not to mention unpredictable moments, due to both the climate and the nature of the track. Round 18 of the season is the Singapore Grand Prix, held at the Marina Bay Street Circuit in Marina Bay, Singapore. The Singapore Grand Prix has been a regular fixture of the season since 2008, when it became the first night race in Formula One history, not to mention the first street course run at night in history. Marina Bay is the slowest track on the calendar, featuring a narrow, twisty layout. The close proximity of the walls means there is often crashes and safety cars, generally lending the race to an air of unpredictability. Round 19 of the season is the United States Grand Prix, held at the Circuit of the Americas in Austin, Texas. COTA, as it is known, is a well-regarded track near the capital of the state of Texas. The track features winding sections and long straights and elevation change, making it a challenging, complicated track to drive. Round 20 of the season is the Mexico City Grand Prix, held at Autódromo Hermanos Rodríguez. In Mexico City, Mexico. This track has hosted the Mexican Grand Prix off and on since 1962, but has been the regular host since 2015, after it was renovated and reprofiled in certain sections by track designer Herman Tilke. The track has a high elevation of over 7,000 feet, which was always a problem for the historically naturally aspirated cars of yesteryear. But today's turbocharged cars have little difficulty at the high elevations, meaning the elevation is more of a problem for the drivers than the mechanical side. The front straight is regarded as one of the fastest on the calendar. Round 21 of the season is the Brazilian Grand Prix, held at the Interlagos Circuit in Sao Paulo, Brazil. The track broke ground in 1938, but has been a fixture on the F1 calendar off and on since 1972, more on than off. The track is a demanding circuit featuring intense elevation changes, long sweeping corners, and unpredictable weather. All in all, the track is a fan favorite that tends to put on extremely good races. Round 22 of the season is the Las Vegas Grand Prix, held at the Las Vegas Strip Circuit in Paradise, Nevada. The newest event on the F1 calendar, this track is a temporary circuit on the streets of the Las Vegas Strip. The ritzy event features lots of celebrities and expensive ticket prices. The track itself is both fast and technical, with a tight four-turn complex at the start, followed by a series of long straights and tight corners, which is ideal for passing in modern F1. Round 23 of the season is the Qatar Grand Prix, held at the Lusail International Circuit in Lusail, Qatar. The Qatar Grand Prix continues a recent trend from Formula One of getting cozy with Middle Eastern leaders and holding F1 races in a part of the world not typically regarded as hotbeds of racing. The first race began in 2021 and has been hounded by protests, especially from Amnesty International, over Qatar's human rights record. Max Verstappen has won the last two editions of the Qatar Grand Prix. The last round of the season, the 24th round, is the Abu Dhabi Grand Prix, held at the Yas Marina Circuit in Abu Dhabi in the United Arab Emirates. Abu Dhabi has been the closing round of the Formula One season for the last several years. The Yas Marina Circuit is generally regarded as a boring, dull, disappointing track to close the season on. There was controversy at the 2021 edition of the race when then-race director Michael Massey first waved the few lapped cars between first place Lewis Hamilton and second place Max Verstappen on a late yellow flag period. This allowed Max Verstappen to close up behind Hamilton. The rule stated that the entire field should have been waived by the leaders, but this wasn't done, and only those four cars were allowed to go, thus allowing Max Verstappen and Lewis Hamilton to get close to each other with so few laps remaining. Next, Michael Massey did an unorthodox restart procedure, starting the race one lap ahead of time when the race should have ended under caution. Max Verstappen immediately passed Lewis Hamilton into the first turn, held onto the lead, and won the race the next time by the start-finish line. There was considerable outrage from Mercedes fans and non-Red Bull fans. This controversial ending to the season put a bitter taste in a lot of Red Bull fans' mouths because while Max Verstappen won his first championship, nobody liked the circumstances under which it happened. Since then, the track has been the topic of discussion among fans, all of them wondering if this year's race will bring more controversy. Alright, that should conclude all the talk about schedules and rules and driver lineups. Now it's time for the fun part. Now it is time for predictions. Alright, let's do this thing. First up in the predictions, we have the biggest surprise. For me, the biggest surprise of the season is going to be Williams. Williams is going to finish 7th in the Constructors' Championship, multiplying their 2024 points total by 4 times. Next, we have my biggest disappointment. My biggest disappointment is actually going to be Lewis Hamilton. I believe Lewis Hamilton will not win a single race with Ferrari in 2025 and will generally be viewed as a disappointment with respect to the decent performance of the car while Charles Leclerc is driving. By season's end, people will be contemplating whether or not it is time for Lewis Hamilton to retire. Next up, we have my prediction for the FIA Rookie of the Year. For me, Rookie of the Year is going to be awarded to Ollie Bearman, who will have a surprising string of points finishes in a generally lousy Haas car. This performance is going to be very, very impressive to a lot of pundits, and is going to fuel the rumors of whether or not Lewis Hamilton should retire so that Ollie Bearman can be elevated into the Ferrari spot for the 2026 season. Next up, we have the most victories. I believe McLaren as a team is going to get the most victories of any team on the grid. McLaren is going to get 11 victories, with Lando Norris getting 8 compared to Oscar Piastri's 3 victories. Alright, that might have given you a clue as to some of my other predictions coming up, but now it's time for the Constructors' Championship. And, coming in third, Mercedes. Yes, that's right. Ferrari is going to drop from 2nd in the Constructors to 4th in the Constructors. Mercedes is going to finish 3rd. Meanwhile, 2nd place in the Constructors' Championship is going to go to none other than Red Bull. That's right, Red Bull Racing is going to finish 2nd in the Constructors' Championship, coming up just short of the ultimate goal. This means that McLaren is going to win the Constructors' title for the 2nd year in a row. Now, on that note, for the Drivers' Championship of 2025, 3rd place is going to Oscar Piastri. I think this kid is electric. He's a star in the making, and for his 3rd year, he's going to finish in 3rd in the championship, and there's going to be a real talk about who's going to be the number one guy at McLaren in 2026. Finishing 2nd in the Drivers' Championship, Max Verstappen. Max Verstappen is a brilliant driver, one of the most skilled drivers I have ever seen. But, as we're learning, even Max cannot completely overcome a non-compliant race car. And I just do not believe that the Red Bull car is going to be enough to get him over the line, especially with a teammate like Liam Lawson. That leaves, last but not least, your driver's champion for 2025, Lando Norris. Lando's going to get over the hump from 2nd to 1st place from 24 to 25. And boy, oh boy, is that going to set up some crazy storylines going into 2026. Now, I have 5 other predictions to make. These are my five bold predictions. Things that would be absolutely crazy that if they happened, but things that I can realistically see happening. First of all, McLaren is going to win five of the first nine races. Then, they're going to see their performance slump in the middle third of the season as teams adjust to no longer having the flexi-wing concept available to them. McLaren's form will pick back up in the latter third of the season and allowing them to put away both championships. My second bold prediction, Alpine driver Jack Doohan will not make it to mid-season before he is sacked in favor of Franco Colapinto. Franco Colapinto is just too talented and too fast to be sitting on the sidelines, especially when someone as inexperienced and unproven as Jack Doohan is sitting in that seat. This one is going to go to Colapinto. My third prediction for this segment, Racing Bulls rookie driver Isaac Hajar will win a race with a Racing Bulls car on a fluky finish in a mixed conditions race late in the season, whether that's Sao Paulo or Coda or some other track. He's going to win one on a fluke, and it's going to be freaking crazy. This is going to mean that next year, with Liam Lawson just being so-so, there are those who are going to start talking about whether or not Isaac Hajar should be in that seat next to Max Verstappen. My fourth prediction of this segment, Alpine will see their performance plummet, ultimately finishing the season ninth in the Constructors' Championship. I am just not confident in Alpine. I don't like what I saw in testing. I don't like some of the things we're hearing out of testing. And generally speaking, I just don't know how I feel about their driver lineup of Ocon and Doohan. So look for Alpine to really fall off this year. Last but not least, my final bold prediction of this preseason. McLaren will have the drivers and constructors' championships wrapped up by round 22 in Las Vegas, meaning both of them will be able to focus exclusively on winning those races just for the fun of it and not on, oh God, are we going to win these championships? They're going to have it in the bag by the time they get to Las Vegas. There it is, folks, my predictions and preview of the 2025 Formula One racing season. If you're still listening, I want to thank you. I'm trying out a new mic. I bought a mic. Instead of using my iPhone and the Voice Memos app, I'm now using a brand new mic on my laptop and the Voice Memos app. We're still figuring this thing out. Nailing down a recording location is also proving to be an interesting experience. But all in all, I want to thank all of you on YouTube who are watching. Please like, comment, and subscribe. Do all the things. Ring the bell, because I know that you had to find me out, and I'm grateful, and I would love for you to help support the channel. For those of you listening on Apple Podcasts and Spotify and everywhere else that podcasts are listened to, I want to thank you so much. I know I am a small-time podcast, so if you're giving me your hour-plus of time in this case, then I'm eternally grateful. The next episode coming out today will be a reaction to yesterday's IndyCar race, and boy, do I have some thoughts about that race. Next week, we are going to have an NFL free agency preview, where I am going to go through the top needs of every division winner of every division in the NFL, and I'm going to go through the top quarterbacks and wide receivers and overall top free agents in this coming season. I'll talk about some of the rumors we're hearing, some of the big things that I think might happen, and just generally get everyone ready for the coming NFL free agency period. All right, that will wrap us up for today. My name is H. James K. Thank you all so much for tuning in. Until next time.